Real Talk with Grace Redmond features conversations with fierce and fabulous people from Grace's community and circle who inspire others with their stories of overcoming challenges to create amazing. Grace is an entrepreneur and success coach who works with individuals to diminish their negative mental chatter, boost their confidence, achieve their goals, and increase their prosperity mindset. Get ready for a series of anything goes conversations with remarkable men and women that will get you jazzed for life's unlimited possibilities of success, freedom, and fun. Welcome to Real Talk with Grace Redmond. Hey loves, it's Grace Redmond, and thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Real Talk, where I get to have real life, raw conversations with incredible people from my circles and communities who have overcome challenges and really created amazing to inspire us all. Today, my magical guest is Cliff Beach. Cliff is an executive, soul music artist, and author who has been performing live for more than 20 years in Los Angeles. The Berkeley-trained songwriter and DC native has created a style of music he coins as new funk, a hybrid of soul, traditional R&B, funk, and neo-soul. His single, Confident, is featured on Spotify, All Funked Up, and Funk Drive playlists with over 750,000 streams. In 2013, Cliff's independent record, Who the Funk is Cliff Beach, was nominated for 3 LA Music Awards, including Record of the Year and a Hollywood Music in the Media Award. Cliff has also received national press in a featured live review in Music Connection magazine. He was a featured performer at TEDx Napa Valley in 2014 and was the recipient of the John Lennon Songwriting Contest Grand Prize in R&B. Cliff's last album, The Gospel, according to Cliff Beach, was nominated for an Independent Music Award and winner of 2 Global Music Awards. Cliff is the host of the Deeper Grooves podcast and Deeper Grooves on 88.5 FM. He's also the author of Side Hustle and Flow, which chronicles his musical journey while still working a day job. The audiobook was recently nominated for a World Entertainment Award. Please help me welcome the really fun and magical Cliff Beach. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Grace. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, it's all you. All you. And I've been reading Side Hustle and Flow, and I love it. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, I mean, there were so many reminders in here that I was like, oh gosh, how could I forget that on my journey? And so I appreciate you putting this incredible, you know, collection of points together for us to remind us it doesn't have to be this or that. It could be this and that.
Yes, absolutely. I tell people all the time, you don't want to put yourself in an all or nothing situation, because then very few people are able to pull that off, you know, less than 1% if you go all or nothing. But a little bit, tiny habits, incremental changes, baby steps, that's really what, you know, the majority of people do. Looking at books like The Millionaire Mind and beyond, it's always about those little incremental things, underwhelming yourself, things that you can do that you won't quit.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, because you talk about the theory of underwhelming yourself. Can you speak to that to our audience?
Yeah, well, right now, the follow-up to the book, I've been working on this weight loss journey. So I lost about 40 pounds this year. Thank you. Yeah, and with that, you know, you don't gain 40 pounds in a day. You don't lose 40 pounds in a day. So, you know, you have to be realistic, you know. And there are people who try to go really drastic, and that's just not good for your body. So when I talk about underwhelming myself, what I mean by that is that a lot of times, especially with New Year's resolutions, weight loss challenges, things like that, when you have that all or nothing approach, what happens psychologically, what we found out when polling people in these challenges, is that the first day that you miss a step, then you just quit. And then you get derailed. And then you go back to the terrible habits before. You know, but it's like, think about it this way. Like if someone was in some type of one of the A's, you know, AA, NA, whatever, you know, lots of people are going through recovery. Even if you're not, the point is that if you fall off the wagon, getting back on the next day is better than just letting it slide the slippery slope forever, you know? But by underwhelming yourself, going to the gym, saying I'll do 10 minutes a day, you know, I'll do yoga for 5 minutes a day, whatever it is, I'll do meditation for 1 minute a day. You know that you'll be able to carve that time out and do it. But if you go in like gung ho, like let me do 2 hours of meditation a day, the first day you don't do it, then now you're sliding, you know, because you're setting the bar too high too soon. And nobody who's ever been successful does, you know, all in day one. You know, it's like, you don't have to see this whole staircase. Take one step at a time.
You're totally right. And I've fallen into that all or nothing mentality in the past when I was, you know, so much younger and, you know, you have this fire and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not sustainable. And over the years, I love how you said that, underwhelming yourself. I've learned even just a little bit every day, whatever that is, it compounds. And then next thing I turn around, I'm like, oh gosh, how did I get here? I didn't even think I was, you know, putting the effort. So I love that. So it sounds like just a tiny bit every day compounds.
Exactly. It's like you think of Dave Ramsey when he talked about the debt snowball. You know, you have a little pebble and it's rolling down a hill of snow, but as it starts to pick up momentum, as it starts to pick up more snow, it gets big. And then at the end, it's like a huge, gigantic snowball. But you don't start at the beginning like, let me pack this giant snowball. It's just too much effort, too much energy, too much time. Compound interest and the miracle of that from Ben Franklin is because of time. It has to have a time horizon. So when you're looking at the stock market, you're going in for the long haul. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. It's going to be people who endure the race to the end, to the finish line. That's the important thing. It's not about how long that takes.
You're so right. And so again, you know, I'm in my 50s. And as I look back, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see all the effort I did got to here. But when you're, you know, 20 or like 30, you want it now. And you don't realize that, okay, like it takes one step at a time. You cannot climb from the bottom of Mount Kilimanjaro to the top in a moment. And correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like with this instant gratification society that the young generation believes like, yes, it could happen overnight. Well, in some instances, maybe. However, for the majority of us, it takes time to get to where we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a friend that interviewed Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who produced Janet Jackson and many other people. They won tons of Grammys and stuff, and they worked with Prince at the time. They have an illustrious career. And what they said was, we never wanted to be, because people ask them, like, how do you stay hot? It's like, no, we're not trying to be overnight sensation hot. We want to have a slow, steady boil. That's how you build a career. Anyone can have a one-hit wonder, can have one thing go viral on TikTok, but you're not going to be able to live on that the rest of your life, for the most part. And so it's like having that more sustainable trajectory. It may not be fast and it may not be widely known to everyone, but you know, you can carve out those niches. But the main thing with business or anything else that you want to do, it's all about solving a problem, a felt need. If you solve a problem for yourself, you can solve a problem for everybody, whether that be the Wright brothers or Henry Ford or whoever, you know, or Sarah Blakely, you know, who created Spanx. I want to look better in my suits. Now, $1 billion later, everybody's looking better. Oprah's favorite things, you know, you make it happen. So I think, again, it's more about what can I do today? The main thing is having the mindfulness that today is the day. People are trapped on someday aisle. Someday I'll do this. Someday I'll do that. You got to get off that island. Today is the day, Gilligan, because otherwise tomorrow's not promised to you.
No, it's not. You know, tomorrow's not promised. I love that. Get off the island, Gilligan. Today is the day.
Yes.
I'll start it tomorrow. Yes. I'll start it in January. No, today is the day. So you talked about something that I have lived by. I always talk about, you know what? I am the turtle. I may not, you know, get there as quick, but something about me, I am slow and steady. I will get there eventually. And it was so cool for you to talk about the analogy of the turtle and the hare in the book. So can you speak to that for us?
Yeah. You know, I think children's stories are great because they teach us lifelong lessons that can grow with us over time. But also having a childlike reception to information is important to carry through into adulthood, because sometimes you become so serious and so stiff and so rigid. You know, I read a statistic that said a 4-year-old laughs 400 times a day and a 40-year-old laughs 4 times a day. Why aren't we laughing as much as possible? That's what keeps you young.
You know what? Listen, I haven't laughed in a really long time and I miss laughter. And so yesterday, one of my girlfriends, she said something just completely ridiculous. And Cliff, I was laughing so hard for so long, and it felt like so healing, and like I released something in my body. I want to laugh every day. I know sometimes that's not necessary, but I love how you said, like, why can't we laugh every day?
Yeah. And so with that, as you know, the tortoise is laughing inside at the hare, because the thing is, the problem is that there's always someone else in another lane, right? But you got to stay in your lane. You got to run the race that's set for you, because you have that DNA, you have that X factor, you have that book or that song or whatever inside of you that only you can do. No one can take that from you. You can relinquish it, but no one can take it from you. Amen. No one can take the ideas that are coming to you. And so even when you look at like really old stories, like in the Bible, and they talk about the parable of the talent. There's a person who had five, there's a person who had two, the person who had one. The person with one buried it and did nothing, and that's the worst thing that you can do. But the person with the two and the person with the five, they're not looking at each other saying, what did you do with your five? What did you do with your two? I'm only required to deal with the talent that I have and work the mess out of what I have. And so that's the important part, is that it's not about the tortoise running against the hare. You're running tortoise against tortoise.
Yes.
You want to be better than who you were the day before.
Yes.
That's the trajectory. And if it takes you five times as long, we're all going to get there. I will see you at the top. Not all fruit grows on the tree and decays at the same time. Life has an organic process, and that can be a short time for some and a long time for others. But the point is, are we all moving towards that point, that positivity, that light?
I love that, because I've always say, you know, life is a game, but I'm competing against myself, the person I was yesterday, and I stay in my lane because everyone is unique in their own way. And like you said, has their own talents. And also it's self-sabotage to compare, because you don't know where this person's been or where they're going or what their experiences are. So I love that. And so every day I, you know, am like, I want to be better than I was yesterday. And, you know, some days you have more energy to do more and some days not. So I love how you say, just show up. And I love how you also said the tortoise is laughing inside, because it's like, hey, you're spinning your wheels. We're going to get there anyway. So just take the time and enjoy the journey. You talked about something, that unrealized potential can wreak havoc on our soul. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I explain it this way. If you had, as a male, an undescended testicle, it just never migrated to the place it's supposed to go, it would become cancerous to your body. There's a lot of things like that. Like, the body is an organic process. They're meant to do what they do. And when they don't, then it becomes a problem. And the same way, you know, I tell people, a lot of people in life are emotionally, spiritually constipated. When I do acupuncture, it's all about relieving these blockages. It's like, why would you want to hold on to this crap that you need to let go? You know, so everyone's holding on to this crap, and that it's causing all these problems. It's causing these toxins leaching now into their body, because they're not letting it go, because it's stuck, it's stagnant. You look at a river, when it's flowing, that's good. When it's not flowing, it's brackish. That water is no good. And so life has a flow, and that's what Side Hustle and Flow eventually taught me, is that it's not just about the hustle. Hustling, just because you have motivation and passion, but you have no goal, you're just stuck at the dream ideation stage. If you haven't put an action plan in place, if you start but you never finish, we're never going to get that book. And so it has to have a practicality, and success leaves clues. So I'm not the first person to write a book, you know, but I'm a person who's in the trenches doing it. Because what I didn't want is, you read all these books after somebody has made it so far up the road, that's like 20 steps ahead. I need to know what step two is. I'm on step one. And this is a person maybe on step three. That's something I can attain, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years or whatever. I can put a plan in place. But it all starts with mindset. And then from there, the self-reflection questions, asking yourself, you know, what am I good at? What do you want to do? Because there's so many people who are not living, you know, purpose and passion filled lives. But everything we need, like Wizard of Oz, is inside of us the whole time. Yes. The slippers, you've had them the whole time. It's when you have the realization that you are the master of your own ship and the captain of your own fate, then you can, you know, happen to life versus life happening to you. And that's a paradigm shift that only you can do. There's a lady, Lisa Rankin, she was sick for a long time, a doctor, and she had all these ailments. And finally, she realized it was the stress of work, and she switched to doing something else. But she said, essentially, you can write the prescription for your own life. You don't need a doctor or a guru or anybody else to tell you about you. You just have to be quiet to listen to that inner self that's not going to yell at you, you know, it's not going to yell at you, but it's there. It wants you to be attuned to what it's saying, but we can only, you know, hear. I think in Sister Act, Maggie Smith, her character, she says, only in silence can our prayers truly be answered. You know, you have to be quiet.
Oh, yes. And I've been doing a lot with everything that's going on in the world. I've been doing a lot of quiet time to find that peace within me. That's beautiful. I love that. And you talk about, you know, the motivation, but there's a myth around motivation. What's that myth?
Well, the myth is that it's going to stay with you forever. You know, people think, like, people will see me and they're like, oh my gosh, you do so much. You're a machine. It's like, no, I'm human just like everybody else. Or people are like, you never get afraid. No, no, that's not true. I feel the fear, I do it anyway. I don't let it keep me from doing it. But I'm afraid, just like everybody else. Do you think I like going out there and getting rejected 20, 40, 80, 100 times? No, I don't.
I'm in the rejection type of business too, so.
Right, but it's the process. It's the process. But you look at publishing, you look at J.K. Rowling. We've never got Harry Potter if she stopped at number one. You know, Dr. Seuss taught the whole world to read. Like almost 40 publishers said no. The Cat in the Hat, Green Egg in the Hat. We don't like it. So it's like, not everybody's going to get your vision. Not everyone's going to get it. Edison took 10,000 experiments to get the light bulb. How many of you have quit at 10, at 5, at the first one? You know, that's science. That's how it works. But ultimately, it's just, you know, it's trial and error. It's not like we were born and we get this handbook and we're like, go do this. You know, even when people read my book, I tell them, like, you're not going to read it and then just do everything I did. You can't go back and do what I did. That time is over. That'd be like me trying to go back to college with the same people 20 years later and have the same experience. I'm a different person. That I couldn't even create and trap lightning in a bottle in that way. It's really about just the present. What can I do now? Yesterday was a great time to start. If you didn't, it's okay. Today's still here. Start today. Tomorrow, worst time to start. And even more delayed than that. So yes, the myth of motivation is basically when Angela Duckworth talked about grit and perseverance, you have to have a compelling why, like the Simon Sinek says. And then beyond that, you have to realize that your feelings can be wrong. So what I mean by that is that sometimes you're not gonna be motivated. Sometimes I have to sit down at the piano and write a song and I'm not feeling it that day, or I have a stomach ache or whatever. You just have to do the best that you can do and know that that fluctuates and changes because you're human and you're fallible. But it's like you look at someone like a Diane Warren, who's written a ton of number one songs for lots of different artists. And she just day in and day out, 8 hours a day, sits at the piano. Some days Prince wrote amazing songs. Sometimes they weren't that great. But you know what? He just kept doing it. It's the consistency that's key. And so motivation is like setting a plan, working your plan, and making the daily sacrifice. That's the thing. It's like not everybody's going to sacrifice daily, and nobody's going to sacrifice, not everyone's going to sacrifice, you know, forever. And it's always going to take longer than you think. So those people are going to burn off that are just like doing it for the quick fix or whatever. It's like for the long haul. The people that would have done it because it's inside them, if they don't get that music or that book or whatever out, they'll go crazy. That's the thing that keeps you motivated. So you may, you know, the person who's, you know, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or whoever, they're shooting 300 baskets a day. And they're like the top of their game. But every day you got to be out there, because the day you don't is the day you start to slip. You can't rest on your laurels at any one point. So even 20 years into my career, I'm still pushing myself musically to be like, I've never done a jazz record. Let's do one. I've never done an Afrobeat record. Let's do one. I don't know about every style of music, but I say, who knows about this? Who can I talk to? You want to keep that childlike curiosity, because it keeps you always pushing to the next thing. You look at some great artists like a David Bowie, up until death, they're working, you know, they're doing it. And so, you know, Tony Bennett, up until the last minute with Lady Gaga, making records. It's like, there's no one that says you have a shelf life and at a certain age you have to turn off. You're actually getting better, like a refined wine. If you subscribe again to that growth mindset that you can be more, have more, do more by making these small baby steps.
Yes. I love you because you have all, I always say you're like fine wine. You just get better with time. And I believe that. And I love what you said, you know, don't rest on your laurels, because we can get comfortable. And then I know that I got comfortable and then I felt unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like I want, you know, there was, I didn't need to take time to rest and recover from whatever I was experiencing. But as I was getting more comfortable, I did not feel good. I felt unfulfilled And then I came back and I feel so much better where I'm getting up every day and I'm putting a little bit of effort. I'm committed and consistent to my work. And it feels amazing because, like you said, in the book and what we just talked about, our unrealized potential really does wreak havoc. Like you feel like, okay, like I don't want to leave this world without at least making an effort.
Yeah. And I like how you had mentioned about being unfulfilled. You know, when I talk about weight loss, one of the key reasons that America and the Western world is fat is that comfortability. We have made our lives so comfortable that we sit all the time. We used to work outside. We used to stand a lot. We used to have to walk uphill, downhill, you know, get to school in the snow or whatever it was. And so that allowed us to have better bodies. That's why you look at pictures pre-1970. And everybody, for the most part, was skinny, you know, and the chairs and everything were smaller. You know, people weren't, everything was harder and took more work. When you cook, it took all day. But, you know, the world needs more crock pots by slow cooking whole food versus quick fast food that don't degrade, you know, normally because we're using science and other stuff to degrade that. We're circumventing natural laws that good things take time. You can't plant a seed today and then harvest tomorrow. Like there's a process involved. Some things like a bamboo tree, you know, it takes 5 years. Everybody's like, how did that person become an overnight sensation? That's not exactly what happened. It just means like the way we've learned history, quote unquote, is that when I become aware, that's where the history starts. That's not true in life. And so 5 years you're watering, nurturing this bamboo tree and you don't see anything in the surface. And then at year five, all of a sudden it springs up 90 feet. How did it do that? Because it spent 5 years creating a foundation, growing the roots to sustain that kind of exponential growth. That's where you are. But it's painful. It's painful in that growth phase. And it's like Noah's Ark. You know how much of an idiot you feel like talking about rain when nobody has seen it, gathering all this stuff, building this thing that people think you're a fool, that the rain is never going to come? But the rainy day comes. It may not come tomorrow, but eventually it's going to rain. Even in Southern California, it's going to rain. It's raining now. And so it's like you just have to prepare. But it's very painful. It's very painful. And so now what I'm learning is that we have to get at peace in that waiting period. Because that's the most uncomfortable aspect of life. Is that's when we start to doubt ourselves and doubt what we started out to do. And you know, you look at companies like an Amazon. How's Amazon the biggest company in the world? The first 7 years, you can look at every shareholder's note from Jeff Bezos. They didn't turn a profit for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Now they're the biggest. Apple is now one of the biggest. When they let Steve Jobs go and he came back, they were almost out. Now they're big. So it's like, you might be down, but you're not out. It's not over until you win. Just keep going.
Oh, I love that because it is. It's discouraging and it's frustrating. And even though I've been in, you know, an entrepreneur for 25 years and, you know, I look back, I'm like, okay, this works. But when you're in it and you're not seeing the results. So for me, it's like, and I'm not seeing the results based on the energy I'm putting in. And then I remind myself, it's going to come. Don't give up and keep moving forward. Keep being committed and consistent because it does. It definitely comes. So I appreciate you providing those examples because it does. It gets discouraging and frustrating, especially in businesses like ours where every day is, you know, you're getting so many rejections. And I've learned, and I have to give this up to Kris Jenner because it's not from me. She's like, if you get a no, that was the wrong door, go knock another door. And so I keep that in mind, you know, in business. It's you get a no, it's the wrong door, go to the next door. Like Famous Amos, you know, he knocked on 1,000 doors before he got that one person.
Mm-hmm. Now they're in all doors, you know? So again, that's what it is. Of like, sometimes it's going to take a long time, but you're refining your process. Your pitch is going to get better by hearing those no's and making changes and gaining feedback.
Right.
And so, and just remember that it's just like Brene Brown, where she gives that whole daring greatly. It's the person in the ring that's beat up. But the point is that you got to be in it to win it, whether it's the Grammys or anything else. You got to toss your thing in there and get knocked around a few times. But then eventually, like, you're going to learn. It's like, what can I learn? Where is the nugget of the seed of what I need to learn in this experience? Because ultimately, we're just on earth to learn and to grow and to become better. It's not about necessarily the destination. because this it's not a linear path. It's like, no. I didn't wake up 20 years ago and say, you know, I wanted to be the best singer and the best keyboard player. And I didn't know that was going to lead to, you know, being endorsed by a keyboard company and licensing music for TV or whatever, or creating a record company. I wasn't thinking about those things at the time, but it expands as you continue to say yes to the universe and to, again, expand. Because our universe is very, very expansive. But see, the way that we learned about the universe, we used to think that the earth was the center. And then later we found out, no, the sun is the center. And then actually we found out that our galaxy is not even the center because it's so big, you know, that it's like, it's much more expansive than you can think of. But you have to always be looking at the world that there's limitless potential.
Yes.
There is no ceiling unless you create one for yourself. And they've learned that. They learned that from fleas. You put fleas into a jar and you put a lid and they jump up to the top. And then eventually you can just leave the top off and they only jump so high because now they've learned there's an invisible ceiling. But to everybody here, this, if this is where you are, this is not it. And even if you think that's the bottom, it doesn't matter. There's so much more. We get to the top of the earth, it doesn't end. Now we're into space. And then space goes beyond what the eye can see. And so it's like, there's limitless. There's more than you could do in one lifetime, which is why you got to share these things and plant seeds for the next generations and leave that legacy. You know, you're going to plant those seeds for trees. You're not going to sit under them, but they're going to bear fruit for somebody else in your family or beyond. But go plant as many seeds, because not every seed is going to fall in the right ground and grow, but something's going to grow. But if you don't do anything, nothing will grow. And even a seed that's dormant for hundreds and hundreds of years, as soon as you plant it, it'll still grow. That potential is still inside you, whether you're 20 or 80. Get out there. Grandma Moses started painting after 80. KFC after 65. You know, Jessica Tandy, Oscar, like almost 80. Just continue.
So good. You're right. It's limitless. And the seed, like we've been talking about, you know, plant the mustard seed, plant the small pebble, be that. If we don't realize it in this generation, and the future generation will. So continue to plant those seeds. No, and it's never too late is really what I'm hearing you say. Never too late.
Yeah. And a farmer, they have faith. You know, they plant the seed. They never think if nothing's going to come. They've planted before. And now it's up. Yep.
They know it's going to come because they planted the seed. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that. So that's basically like surrender and unwavering faith, because you planted the seed and you know that it's going to grow. That's good. I love that, Cliff. Well, so what is Ikigai? Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. I mean, there's been a lot of current research from psychology and philosophers, especially when studying the Blue Zone. So it comes birth out of projects. They're trying to understand longevity. We're trying to live longer and now saying also have a great quality of life. And so when they look at the island of Japan, which is very small, they have in certain areas people who have lived over 100. And so they have this philosophy of Ikigai, which is reason for living. And basically they ask themselves four questions. What am I good at? What do I like to do? What can I make money at? What does society need from me? And from those, that's how you start to understand what's my passion, what's my purpose. Because for them, they're like, if your Ikigai is you love being outside, you love gardening, then, you know, whether you retire or whatever, or work in agriculture, you should be doing that to death, you know, until you die. And even in my book, in Side Hustle and Flow, I talked about in the beginning, I was in this group of people looking for work. And there was a guy who was like, I love the salsa dance. And I was like, if you love the salsa dance, you should do it as much as humanly possible. As much as you can afford to do it, even if you're turning on YouTube and just playing the songs and dancing around your house, because you love to do it. The hard part is that some people don't even know what they love to do. They're so out of whack and out of tune. They've afraid, or a lot of people have been programmed to think small and be small to fit in, even if they don't fit in. And so they don't ask themselves, you know, what I love to do. And it's like, what am I good at and what I love to do? Like sometimes you may love to do something, but you can't make money at it. Sometimes you may be good at something, but you don't necessarily love it. So it's like these questions are kind of working tandem together to, again, take you down the path. Doesn't mean when we talk about identity, that has to be the end all be all. Like we're complex people. So it's like people are like, well, you're a musician, you're an executive. I was like, yeah, but I'm also a son. I'm also a brother. Like, you know, once, twice, three times a lady. You're more than one thing. But you can do those things and expand that by starting with working again the gifts, the shape that you have. Like, we learn to dress for our body types. You have to also think and operate from your internal shape of who you are as a person. It's in Ikigai is ultimately that. Behind is the body and the mind, the soul. It's the integration. Like, who am I? You know, and it's existential, but it doesn't have to be something that's like far off. It's just like start thinking about, like, what do I like to do? And I tell people all the time, if you don't know what you like to do, go look into your checking account and see what you spend your money on. Because obviously where you spend the most money is where you spend your time, and where you spend your money and your time is pointing towards, hopefully, what you like, you know, some of the things you like to do. It may also be some things that you need to work on. You're spending just, and you don't know what you're spending on. But there are going to be some clues in there, you know, like people who are like, you know, I tell people, like, hey, if you love to eat that much, then, you know, go start a blog, go talk about it, become a foodie, you know, start a video podcast, something. There's ways to be able to then expand from, you know, the spectator of life into, like, the person actually on the field. So I think those, there's no, like, again, one path. But we know that if you don't do that, when you don't have purpose, when you don't have passion, when you don't have community, then people, they die a whole lot earlier. And when I say community, you know, I always tell people there is no self-made. Like, they'll be like, oh, Rihanna, the Kardashian, they're self-made billionaires. And I say, that's a load of crap. Who bought your stuff? Did you come here with $1 billion? That doesn't make any sense. Who birthed you? You know, but we have the thing where we want to pretend that we did everything on our own. But ultimately, any big dream that you have is going to be hairy and scary, and you're going to need people. You're going to need a team. We are built for community. We knew even from our ancient times, if you weren't part of the group and you were alone, you were vulnerable for attack from animals, from other people. It doesn't matter. So it's like we're naturally built to have this community, and people who, again, are living together and laughing together, that builds the strong bond. When the laughter is gone, everything is gone. That's why I'm now focused on, you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh through the pain. You gotta laugh through the work, you know, because that's what's gonna get you through. And that's what's gonna get really ultimately keep you motivated.
Yeah, no, that was powerful. Community and coming together. We don't do it alone. And you're right. I didn't get here alone. I had a team and people that support me and love me, and no one can do that's false. You know, no one can do it alone. You can't. We need each other. And I'm learning more and more, you know, how important community is and how important that connection is. And I know people are, you know, talking about AI. Sure, AI is going to help us, but it's never going to take away that human connection that is so vital to our life, to our, just for us to live and thrive. We need to connect.
And like, certainly.
And then the Ikigai sounds like it's like finding, you know, your passion, your purpose within, and then just moving forward, whatever that may be. And it could look different for each person, just making sure that you feel a part of something greater.
Yes. And that's the same thing. That passion and purpose is, you know, Rick Warren and the purpose of his life, the first word there, it's not about you. It's not about you alone. It's like not. Your mess and your message is for you and somebody else. Your product, your service, whatever it is for you and somebody else. But it's not just about you. Because otherwise you're just living in a vacuum. It's like, yeah, it's great to have all these ideas. I tell people all the time, what you don't want to do in music is have a hard drive record, meaning that it lives on your computer and it never gets out, or we can never hear it, because it's not going to do anything if it's just trapped in that box. So it's not just about you. It's about you to a point, so then it influences the next person.
Yes. No, it's not about us. It's about, you know, everything else. So what has been one of the greatest challenges you faced? How did you overcome it? And what was a lesson in that challenge?
Well, in the beginning of the book, I talk about getting kicked off American Idol when I was young. And I thought that was like the way to go after a couple of rounds. And it's devastating to hear people that you idolize, quote unquote, to tell you you suck and you don't have a place in this business. And so now having almost a million streams on a song I put out myself, I say, well, I did my own thing my own way. And maybe it's not a household name, but it works for me and it's inspired other people, so I'm happy about that. But I quickly had to have a paradigm shift where I realized I never had the dream of winning American Idol or being on reality television. I don't care about stuff like that. I just wanted my music to be able to amplify and get it out there. And so it made me quite angry where I ended up starting my first band immediately. I was like, no matter what, I'm getting this done because this is the catalyst now. Like, I'm going to prove these people wrong. No one's going to tell me how to do me, right? So that was that. But ultimately, you look at someone like a Jennifer Hudson. She got kicked off, 5 into the last couple of rounds, and now she's an EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. You can't do better than that. And so again, you can't let somebody, because then it's like she became Effie in Dreamgirls, the person that people discounted that is amazing, And so it's like your room will make growth for you. But it's like you look at someone like a Michael Jordan. Like if Michael Jordan, when they said you're not good enough for the junior varsity basketball team, you never heard of him if he quit then. But no, he
That's right.
went back, shot them baskets for a year, started training, came back the next year, and then he got it on there. Sometimes we need a no to prove like it's not a no, it's a not yet. Because I remember when I used to study theater and I would have this journal and it would go to our director, Roberta, and Summer Dinner Theater. And Roberta would, I would say, Roberta, why don't I ever get like lead role? She was like, when you're ready for the lead role, you will have lead role. But right now you're ready for the role that you have, but there are no small parts. You're going to learn something in that piece. And
Awesome.
so it's the same thing where it's like everybody wants to be the lead, but you may be a great sideman, and that's okay. It's like, when I listen to James Brown, as much as I love James Brown, I love Bobby Bird singing backgrounds. Without somebody saying get on up behind those get on up, Sex Machine
True.
wouldn't have been the same thing. So it's like sometimes it's not about being a sideman doesn't make you less than anybody else. We're all equal. There's
Yes.
equality, equalness out there. But
Yes.
somebody to be the head, somebody's got to be the neck. It can't be all
Yes.
heads
Oh,
all the
so
time.
good. Cliff, preach. It takes all the parts together to make the whole. That's where the community comes in.
Exactly.
That's where connection comes in. That's beautiful.
Very well put.
All the parts are needed.
Always. And all the
And
parts are important.
the lead was, the part this part in the past. And then the lead is going to be that part in the future, and there's going to be another lead. And I love what you said, we're all like no one of us is less than the other based on the role that we're playing in this moment.
Yep. Because it's just like a system. It's just like the body. It's like if you cut off an arm, you realize how important it was when it's gone, But you need to realize how important it is now because you have it. Wake up like, oh, I have two arms. I should be using these more. Let me go work out. Let me do something.
And you know what? It's when you lose. So there, we take so much for granted. And I'm making an effort to recognize, like every day, even the small things, turning on my water, getting out of the bed, seeing my loved ones, like reminding myself that this is all, just being in gratitude because, like you said earlier, tomorrow might not come. So how am I going to be my best today? What am I going to do today to move me forward? There's something that you shared, and it's also something that's close to my heart. You talked about being 4 years sober, so congratulations.
Thank you.
How has sobriety changed your career, and how has sobriety changed your personal life?
Thank you. That's a very good question. I mean, I think obviously with the longevity studies, people that drink less alcohol or no alcohol, they say that is helpful for you. Even some alcohol has benefits, but it can be outweighed by other things. But I think the main thing is that it's really about cultivating self-discipline, which I cultivated through music, learning to play piano and practice as a kid when I didn't want to. At the same way, once you can deny yourself, like, you know what, I this is no longer serving me, I'm going to cut this out of my life. It gives you immense clarity. And then from there, now that I've been tackling food and what I eat, that was a different battle, but they were interrelated because it's all about first understanding that you are a person and you matter and your body is important. Because I don't think everybody gets that. You know, when they say like your body is a temple, people don't realize that. But it's like if you were walking outside and you saw some kids graffitiing a church, you would yell out, it's like, what are you doing? Don't desecrate that temple. Don't desecrate your body. You know, don't take it for granted. You only get one back. You only get one arm, your leg. You know, you should be doing the best that you can with them. And if you're not, then you're not. And so for weight loss, I've been having to track, you know, what I'm eating and have more mindfulness there. It's just about, it's not about picking, should I eat this or that? It's about being mindful. Because when you're talking about business and entrepreneurship, they have the thing of like, you have to know your numbers. You have to know your KPIs. You have to know your metrics. You cannot manage what you do not measure. I'll say that again. You can't manage what you don't measure. And so from there, it allows you to create tools and systems in place to measure, is this serving me? Is this moving me towards the goal? But you have to first have the goal to know if it's moving you towards anything. Because if you have no goal, then whatever you throw out there, you're hit it every time, but you'll hit nothing essentially. So you have to create those goals, but then from there, you'll realize. And it's just like when we talk about running the race, you're running the race, and people are like, don't look at the hair, just run the tortoise race. But at the same time, you have to let go of the baggage that's holding you back. It's gonna be hard with a big old backpack running as a tortoise, you know, than if he's just running with his normal, whatever tortoise wear. So it's like you have to realize that sometimes we need to deny ourselves and let some things go. And for you, it may be social media. It may be something else. But it's like when people take those social media fasts and they're like, you know what? I don't need that dopamine hit of people liking me and commenting me and stuff. Because it can take you down a rabbit hole. It's like sometimes people are scrolling on there for an indefinite amount of time and they don't know how much time they lost. And they're like, well, I just don't have enough time in the day. We talk about time management and people are like, you know, some people manage time better than others, but that's not true. We have 24 hours, all of us, every day.
Yes.
Some people manage themselves in relation to time better. That's the difference. You can't manage time. You can only manage you.
That's right. I remember I had a coach and then many years ago, Mike Gianta, my recruiting business coach. And I used to complain to him. I'm like, I don't have time. I have these two young kids. He's like, you know what? I don't want to hear it. Everyone has the same 24 hours in the day. Get better. And I always remember that. You're right. It's like, where are we spending our time? And, you know, those dopamine hits are real. But if you want to get to where you're going, you're right. You need to make those sacrifices to release what's not serving you. Because you're right. We're not going to get to where we're going to go if we're wasting time doing things that are not taking us to where we need to go. It is a waste of time. And I'm guilty of it. Two, do you believe in the power of visualization and manifestation?
I do. And everybody believes in it in a different way. So I know The Secret and creating vision boards. I definitely love putting notes and things into my phone and looking in back at that for outlines and things like that. For visualization for me, when I started in 2013, I wanted to make 10 albums in 10 years, which I did between 2013 and 2022. And so I had written this Who the Funk is Cliff Beach and Beyond document, which I just plugged in. Like, I like to do these things. I want to make a Christmas album. I want to do this. I want to do that. Some things happened. Some things didn't. Some things changed, added, dropped as time went on. But it started me down this path of thinking about a 10-year plan, where before I wasn't even thinking a 10-week plan or a 10-day plan. And less than, you know, a very small percentage of people actually plan their lives, actually have a calendar and attack life in that way. And so for me, when it comes to visualization, it's more about visualizing in the micro and the macro, thinking like, what can I do in the short term to have some short wins, but also with my long-term game, you know, because I know I'm going to be an endurance runner of this race. But visualization can be super important. You know, whenever you go into a weight loss journey, you have to be able to look in the mirror or look in your mind and see yourself skinnier. Because again, you're tapping into the possibility that it can happen. But the major thing is having that paradigm shift, moving from should to must.
Yes.
If I say I should lose weight, it'll never happen. Must lose weight, it has to happen.
Yes.
Get rich or die trying. I'm going to die trying. This weight's going to come off one way or another. That's it. You know, and so you have to switch to the must. I must do it. and I must do it today, and I must make the sacrifice daily. Otherwise, it's not going to get done.
Yes, yes, yes. I could be here with you all day long, and I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to ask you one more question, because like I said, I love chatting with you. We could be here all day.
Sure.
So what's your vision for Cliff Beach 5 years from now?
Well, right now, we definitely have more projects in the can. So now that we finished those 10 albums, we're getting ready to release the jazz record in March. We have a soul record that's already on deck, a contemporary EP, and I'm hopefully going to record another 3 albums after that are in the queue. Wow. So at least 6 albums, you know, within the next 5 years. And then new projects, I'm always saying yes to different things. I have a friend that was nominated for a Grammy for Afrobeat, so we're starting to work on an Afrobeat single, which I've never done, but nice. I love the style, Fela Kuti and all that stuff. So yeah, I just say yes to the possibilities, just like, you know, I ended up with 2 seasons of a show on Discovery Channel and Max hosting a band on there, Josh Gates Tonight. It didn't get continued now, but it may be something else in the future. But I just go and say yes to different things. So I think of it like when you watch anime, Yu-Gi-Oh! And those things where they keep changing. You're like, why is his hair different? He's like, I haven't reached my final form. I have not reached my final form, and I'm not going to until the end. And even then, that's only another chapter of a different form. I haven't reached my final form yet. Don't count me out. I may be down, but I'm not out. It's not over until you win. And I want to see everybody at the top.
Yes. Yes, I love that. I love your perspective. I love your energy. I love your fire. Thank you so much for being here with me today, because you just gave me like ignited life. And I thank you. And for those of you that are watching and listening, I am always grateful for you, because I know there are so many other places you can be. And I thank you for that. And I wish you an incredible day ahead. And Cliff, for those that are listening and watching, where can they find you? Because your music's amazing, your book's amazing, you're just an incredible person. So please share where we can find you.
Sure. Well, social media, all the platforms at Cliff Beach Music will get you there. If you want to email me, you can always email me cliff@sidehustleandflow.net. cliffbeachmusic.com is also the website, or californiasoulmusic.com. And if you want to find the book, it's on Amazon, Audible, Kindle, Side Hustle and Flow by Cliff Beach, and it's out now.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for joining me. And again, wishing you all an incredible day. If you watch this episode, please feel free to like it and rate it. And that's how we can continue to show up here with you and my incredible guests. I love you all. Hey, love, thank you so much for listening today. I am so grateful for you. I'd like to show you my appreciation by gifting you a free forgiveness self-hypnosis audio download. Part of living the fun and fabulous life is practicing forgiveness. Forgiveness can be such a long and challenging process. My intention is that this forgiveness audio will help you in practicing forgiveness, especially with yourself. Grab it by visiting daretoachieve.com/forgiveness. For more inspiring tips, make sure to connect with me on social media. Drop me a line on Facebook or Instagram at Grace Redmond, Dare to Achieve. Until next time, keep moving forward towards living your fabulous life.